overthinking the hair. Just need to get out there, but I'm in a hair-based shame spiral at this point.
The more you sweat about it.
If hair-based shame spiral doesn't make the fucking clips.
I think that's probably the name of the episode.
Money draft.
The sun became as black as a sackcloth of hair. Don't you like a sackcloth of hair, JR?
I like a nice patch of hair, yeah.
Money draft.
And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Oh, man.
A great earthquake.
A great.
And there was shaking and devils.
It was a great earthquake.
It was a great and powerful earthquake. And they were afraid. They hid their faces from the ward because they were shaking. Fear not, I am the ward.
Money draft.
As always, I'm JR, and I'm here with my friends, California, Marcel. How's it going, Marcel? What is up?
I am doing quite great, actually. How are you doing, my friend? I heard
as
about...
Always,
excuse
we
me.
We also have our friend in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's like Jagger. How are you?
It's going.
No, so what were you saying, Marcel?
Yeah, podcast can start now. So, introduced to everybody.
Yeah, there's nobody else here. We have no more friends.
Yeah, there's Jason in Kalamazoo. It's also our friend.
Unenthusiastically.
The listeners aren't my friends.
So it's been a while. I think like 40 episodes now since we've had Marcel to convene with us.
No guests.
Special council of the money draft millionaires.
Yeah.
A lot has happened. We had to bring in some of the brain trust to sort of sort things out.
Oh, shit is ugly out here. Oh my goodness. But we got high level thinkers here, and we on that next level shit. We're on levels above levels, and we're going to be on that level. So we're good.
It's
everything's
gonna be
all
awkward right. For me when they figure out that Russians hacked all our voting booths.
Well, you heard what happened.
Actually went for Clinton.
19 counties in Wisconsin are blocking people from accessing the votes and the ballots, so that could be a little interesting.
I like that. That strong oppression.
I don't even think about that when I'm not at work, man. It gets me nervous.
Yeah, man, it's an audit. And
it's going to be a move. It's going to be like a, you know, big, big move like on a Saturday. It's going to fuck me up.
That shoe's going to drop, and it's a boot.
Oh man, if they actually found there was like impropriety and hacking and shit, and they like overturned the results of the fucking election, the stock market will catch fire. Like you're just gonna have to take a clean pair of underwear to work because you're gonna be there a while.
Yeah, I'm gonna be pissed off if I lost money because like Comey like you know reneged on the you know Clinton comments, and then it looked like Trump won, but then they captured both houses. So just losing money all over the place, you know?
Ouch.
Good.
So are you in private prisons now?
That would be perfect if it, like, you know, there was, like, some stuff with the college or whatever. I don't think that's going to happen, but sorry, Marcel, what did you say?
Are you in private prisons? Because they just announced that they're going to be using...
I wish I were. Like, it's like... you had a couple of days to get in, and that's the thing, the trends are still going, and I wouldn't get in at this point. Like Sallie Mae, you know, the student loan company, sort of analogous to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, like years ago. That seems, I look at that chart and I want to short it just because I'm like, but it's ridiculous. They're, like every like bad acting sector is up, you know, we talked about that last time with like the private prisons and it's cash payday lending services. It's like ridiculous.
Can you imagine if the election had gone the other way? We'd be talking about like shutting down private prisons and shit like that, and what to do about student loan debt and how to reduce it, and how to get whether we should move to single payer or Medicare for all sort of a deal. But now, since the election went the other way, we get to talk about like what do we call Nazis? Like, what's a polite term for them? It's pretty fucked up, man.
Before, like,
I think you call it the Breitbart fan base. I think that's the PC term. I'm not sure though.
My like personal portfolio was like 20 so-called investments that were like, you know, long-term plays. I have a multiple part thesis about this, and like maybe five trades that were like, oh, if it goes up a bit, I'll just sell it because I don't really believe in a long-term whatever. Uh-huh. But now it's just like 30 trades, 20, like because everything is just like, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I guess I'll just keep looking at this charts every day and because, you know, the effects that, you know, Trump engendered with banks going up, those are arguably in the market. Now, if they push, like, if they actually push through the legislation, that's the other thing. I mean, that's the, probably banks are, like, relatively, like, banks more than infrastructure companies, probably. But it's just so much uncertainty. And just in general, just not even my job, just like my overall, just the level of stress in my life. Like, I feel like my blood pressure must be like 300.
So let me ask you a question here. Now, do you trade or do you hold stocks based on morals or your morality or where your moral compass lands? Or is that just irrelevant?
I try to, like, more than I used to. Like, before, I was just like, oh, I'll just like have like Philip Morris and Walmart, whatever. I try to do the opposite. So there might be, I mean, lots of corporations do weird, you know, shady things. But I do try to like, so I was short. So I got screwed because I was like short the student loan companies, you know, thankfully not the payday lenders. Yeah. But I was like eyeing those. So I got kind of screwed on being short those, like in terms of my few shorts. I try to like look at that here and there, but ultimately it doesn't matter. Like, you know, you're just, even when I'm doing that, what am I doing? I'm just like borrowing some stock and selling a little bit of stock. It's not like I'm really
investing,
contributing overall, you know, really ultimately, unless you just like buy enough of a stock to like start controlling the company, like, you know, by buying and selling the stock, you know, you're
engaging in the trade of stocks and then not really in investing in the company.
Yeah.
I could understand that. Cause your job and your career is the stock, or not necessarily your career, cause you do other than stock trade. That's not what but you know, someone that's doing that, they're like, well, is this a number? Yeah, sure. That, you know, this company is horrible and everything, but it's doing well. It's going to do well, and I'd just be stupid not to invest in it. I couldn't do that myself, but I can understand where someone would come from that. So I couldn't necessarily knock it, because it's like, you know, rational decision.
I'm going to lose all my money when Kellogg's goes out of business. I'm the Brave Wire boycott. I got a shitload of Kellogg's, dog.
I'm really surprised there haven't been more boycotts, though. Like, with social media, like, I would have thought by this point there would be multiple sort of social media smackdowns of just, but it's almost like we talked about the Walmart problem where it's hard to boycott Walmart because it's the only, you know, you can't, it's just the only store in town like that. So,
yeah.
But
yeah, if you live in the middle of America, you're going to, what, triple your cost of living if you don't shop at Walmart, or double?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's real.
That's an example of a stock where I feel like there's a shoe about to drop, maybe with China in terms of import prices. And China especially just worries me.
Oh, yeah. Well, if China pulls some shit, but also if Trump pulls some shit. He said he's willing to call China a currency manipulator. If he imposes that 35% import tariff he's talking about, Jesus Christ, it's a trade war.
I mean, yeah. So the whole vector of the whole Trump phenomenon in terms of the xenophobia and make America great again, if you plot a straight line, it points towards a war with China to improve the economy a la World War II. Like,
that's true, because that's the main competitor in terms of labor and the cost of goods and jobs is the main. Well, China and India, you know, those are the big enemies in Trump's eyes, per se.
So that's the scary part to me. Like that, I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen, but just in terms of their logic, I just want to like refute the logic that like the folk. I think even in terms of the second Gulf War, that was maybe part of the decision making almost that, like, you know, the economy gets better when there's a war. And yeah, like the defense sector goes up so certain sectors go up. So maybe the stock index tends to go up, but the overall economy and well-being, like, you know, you're basically trading away overall economy and well-being for like the stock market going up a little bit because certain sectors directly related to the war are going up and other things aren't going down. So,
and it's not sustainable. Yeah.
The thing about war and industry is that every year that goes forward, you just need less humans to do it. And that's the, you know, whether it's war or it's making cars or manning, like it's just, you just need less humans to do shit, but we keep there's just more and more people. And that's creating a massive amount of uncertainty and people that aren't able to make money or find jobs. And it's in my opinion, maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but I think that's like, it's just like there's a whole lot more people every year. And every year that goes by, there's just less of a need for people.
Yes, they already.
Until we figure out how to balance that.
It's not that there's less than a need, but there's such a high rent cost. Like, they have to, like, meet this high bar that's sort of based on the average. But some people are so, like, wealthy that the average is, like, kind of high, and it's just it's hard.
Well, it's more people. It's multifaceted also, because, like, there's more people, then there's more higher-skilled people. And then you got technology, as we've been talking about, and automation, which is turning into higher productivity with lower people. So these are multiple angles that are going around. And then you want to say immigration, because that is a cheaper labor pool. As we get globalization, now the labor pool gets bigger, and you got a bigger labor pool of people that are higher skilled that will work for lower wages. Like in India, you got a lot of people that have engineering degrees that can't get jobs. So if the job pool really gets global, like, we in America has the most to lose, because we have the highest paid jobs for what is actually being done if you put it on a global scale.
So, like, it's already happening in pharmaceuticals. China and India is coming for our fucking jobs. And these are people that'll work for like $8,000 a year doing, you know, bachelor science to master's of science level work.
Aren't you like a big?
They're good scientists.
Aren't you like, you're a casualty of this yourself? You got chemistry degree, and you actually won't
for
work
sure.
Because it's just, tell people why you won't work as a chemist.
Well,
I
like what I'm doing better, but like the
well,
pharmaceutical industry, it's a lot of shit, man. I wouldn't say I'm not working. I'm making more money than I did as a chemist, and that's the sad thing. You know, I'm making more for magic than I did with using my bachelor's degree. It's just how it is, man.
And Jason's like, not a stupid person. Like, if you talk to Jason, Jason's one of the more intelligent assholes.
Why do you need to qualify
assholes?
That? I would assume that nobody that listens to this cast thinks I'm a stupid person. But now I'm like, do people think I'm stupid?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Man.
You don't have a shining example of intelligence on any show that you do. So.
I'm condescending.
Yeah, that's an insecurity in your intelligence.
You have to be intelligent to be condescending.
No, that's an insecurity in your intelligence, usually.
Did you say you have
to be
intelligent to be condescending? Have you listened
Absolutely.
To that bitch, Tomi Lauren, speak?
Oh,
she's
man.
Not condescending. She's fucking arrogant. There's a difference. And honestly, she's the only person that like could get in a room with Trevor Noah and make me like him more than the person he's interviewing.
But I may have been wrong about automation taking jobs. I've seen that chart going around, and you know, then the text that goes with it is that it, you know, in 1980, basically it took five people to do like the job that it takes one person to do now. But I don't know the underlying numbers to that study, you know, and the fact that the output went up that much could be due to other things. Like if you move a factory to Mexico, and so your margins are that much higher, and you put the same amount of capital into it, you know, the output is going to be higher. So it's not really actually broken down by contribution of technology specifically per se, but it's probably a little bit more significant in the past already than I thought it was.
Yeah, I don't think it's a one-for-one correlation as that chart has shown. I'm sure it's probably less, but I'm very certain that there is definitely some aspect of that. And we're moving into the age where it's actually going to become a lot more. Especially like the biggest one is freight truck drivers. They already got the automated freight trucks they're doing in California. They've been doing the tests. And within 4 years, that's going to be full-fledged. You're going to be having that, and that's a major job in most states, is a truck driver.
Well, that is trucking companies are the number one employer in a lot of U.S. states. Like, if you get rid of those jobs, that, Jesus.
Yeah, we're going to have neo-Luddites is basically what's going to happen, because you're going to have this onslaught of AI, which is going to come from the West, you know, from a lot of these tech companies, Silicon Valley, that is going to be funding a lot of this, and it's going to essentially erode American jobs. And so I could see legislation being passed that will like prevent this from happening, you know, in the Trump era. I'm protecting jobs by preventing AI cars driving trucks.
I think ultimately there has to be like a inflation again, which will just have the effect of eroding away all old debt, basically, because the debt's denominated in dollars. And then that almost has to be the end game, but especially with Trump, who's literally, when people say he's going to bankrupt America, like he's bankrupted his businesses, that's true in a way, like in terms of, like we talked about last time with his policies, where so you're cutting taxes and, you know, cutting, you know, increasing spending by a decent amount, and you're just hoping that that cocktail sort of, you get a feedback loop where you shoot the moon and it works.
Well, that implies billionaires are going to reinvest their fucking gains, because they're the only ones making any money from like index and shit going up. Like everyone else is like, their debts outweighing their gains there. So I don't know if those people actually did reinvest, and trickle down economics could theoretically work, and inflation would be good for people that have debt, but like it doesn't fucking happen.
But I think that it's just like when every other explanation like doesn't work, it's just like one thing that would finally prick the bubble of inequality or whatever, if just the unit of currency went down. But and I feel like that's where we go. Like the bonds have been selling off since Trump was elected. That's sort of like what markets are saying now. It's just like, you know, if you have a bunch of wealth stored up, it's just getting kind of hazed now. If it's in bonds, if it's in stocks, then it's fine.
Yeah.
But these are just shadows on the wall.
Shadows on the wall, man.
That's what
we should do. We should do like the last 30 minutes of a podcast one time, just read the whole allegory.
That's what the first thing I texted, or on that night, on election night, you texted me, just it was like 11. You were like, "What the fuck's going on, man?" And I like said something about work, and then I was like, "Yeah, but that's just like shadows on the wall. I don't know what the fuck's going on."
Shadows on the fucking wall, man.
That's that untold history of the United States. Everyone, you should be watching that shit. If you got Netflix, Oliver Stone. I'm on episode, I think, 9 now. Eight. Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, I'm on the one. Go ahead. I think I'm on the one. I think I'm on the one about Nixon. It's like in the 7, 8, 9 range. But I always watch them before I go to sleep.
Have nightmares, disturb your sleep, wake up early. Yeah, Nixon was fucked up too. And then Like, you go down and you see JFK, he was fucked up. Like, the United States has a history of and a policy of doing some fucked up shit for their interests. And it's the neo-imperialists, you know, we're colonizing the world through bank loans and, you know, positioning of our military strength. And it's quite sad. Like, you know, and seeing that what's going to happen with Trump, like I said, after watching Truman, I was like, you know, Trump's got a tall glass to really beat Truman, because Truman was a fucking horrific person, and policies and dropping A-bombs when it was unnecessary. It was just like we have, you know, bloodlust within our presidency. So it's not to the rest of the world, this is not unknown. This is, you know, what Trump is saying is probably as par as to what they think we're really about. So this is going to be interesting, actually.
Yeah, well,
I've actually, I haven't seen that many good overseas sort of critiques of, I've actually like Googled, like, you know, newspaper front page reactions to, you know, Trump winning, but I haven't seen any really good ones. It seemed like there's a lot of stuff with the Brexit where it'd just be like, oh, those idiots, but I haven't actually seen like the pieces where like, oh, everyone's an idiot. It's more like, oh my God, I'm scared. What the fuck?
I don't know, man.
Let's get out of this depression. What's good? Talk about magic. Yeah. So something cheerful in your life,
oh,
please.
Yeah, this is the new Black Wrath seems fucking insane.
Oh my God.
Are they fucking high?
Like, how are they gonna print a card that says that? Like,
so hey, read the card for everybody because they haven't seen it.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Black 2, right?
Yeah. And it does -3/-3 to all creatures, and then you may cast a card from your graveyard. I think an instant or sorcery.
Yeah, from your hand.
From your hand?
Mana cost. Oh. Yeah, from your hand.
Oh, that's a lot.
Convert a mana cost 3 or less. So just cast both halves of Beck and Call, whatever.
Yeah, ooh. or you just call, you know, Restore Balance or Degenerate, yeah. Like that. Like,
that can't be
and
right.
And it's so funny, because, like, the Reddit thread that about the card was that all these people talking about how broken it was as standard, and you scroll down half the page and somebody's like, what about like Visions and Restore Balance?
It's all downvoted. People don't want to
like,
hear
you
it.
Get a free smuggler's captor.
God.
Everyone thinks about shit in terms of standard. Even in the finance subreddit, people are that fucking short-sighted. This one guy's like, I don't think this is that good in standard. And we're like, okay. Great. I'm just be over here casting fucking development for free or bust. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know if that could be correct. I mean, it is exciting in like the basic way of just being, you know, the old Wrath, and then I have a factory and I'm getting you, you know, you just clear the board and then drop something.
Yeah. It seems grossly overpowered, actually. And haven't they learned
mythic.
Yeah, but for lower costs of spells, have they not learned that this is always turns bad? So maybe
every single person that's in development has written in an article or said something that's like, well, free spells was the biggest mistakes we ever made in Magic.
Yeah, we're going to do it again.
Like, they did Affinity a second time with Eldrazi, and they're like, oh, we fucking ruined Modern and Legacy. Whoops.
Hey, that's what the ban list is for, right? They can correct all their mistakes they ever done with the swipe of the pen. Ban Ancestral Visions again.
Right after they unban it. Man, this card's dumb. Like,
do you think it's real?
Saying, I do think it's real. Because people are like, oh, it's number 74 or whatever. A card with a Y in the name's not going to be 74. I'm like, it's the last black card. So it probably is legit. I think the card's real. I really like the Trinket Made for 3 guy as an EDH player. I get some really good shit in standard, but... Like in EDH, it gets most of your deck. It's dumb. It gets like all the important cards.
And stuff. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like a fabricate. Yeah.
I tell you, I got an itch. Like, I want to play EDH. And sometimes I hear you talk about it, and it's like, oh,
you
man.
You do such dumb stuff. Like,
that
EDH
sounds
is
fun. But then I think about it, and I'm like, oh.
No, dude. All you gotta do is play one game, and then you'll be like, wait, fuck this.
Yeah, that's what happened when I went to Montreal. He handed me, like, this black, green Omnath deck, right?
Omnath, yeah.
Omnath, yeah. And man,
that deck can win out of nowhere.
You're that's what he said. It's like, this deck's very overpowered. And then I got to mid game. I was like, I am not going to be able to do anything because these guys got this absurd stuff. And I'm drunk and I'm trying to look across the table at what these cards do and trying to do this convoluted interaction.
I mean, don't blame EDH for not knowing what cards do.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
it's inherently annoying.
Yeah, but it's inherently you're going to have a board state that's going to be convoluted beyond where you would want to be comfortably. I don't know, maybe.
You play Insurrection or fucking Master Warcraft and just win the game on the spot if the board gets convoluted. Or you kick a Cyclonic Rift and fuck everybody in the face. Like,
I have a pick of the week. Foil Corrupted Conscious, $1.
Foil what?
Wow, really?
Corrupted Conscious.
What's that?
That card's like, amazing.
Is it one? No, I don't know if it's $1, but it's pretty low. It's an uncommon, though, so.
What does it do?
But it's an uncommon for what? Mirrored and Besieged?
It's a control magic for 5 converted costs, and it gives the creature,
infect.
Oh, infect, yes.
So you just, like, take their best dude and dome them with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. If you're not trying to kill them with infect, it's not great, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would rather play treachery, but treachery is really expensive.
They'll probably have a way to remove it, like, if they're just going to die, but.
Exactly. Yeah. You spend all this time and effort when you could just play it.
I don't think it's like a highly played card in EDH, but
it's really not. But
Jason needs a format. He doesn't need Frontier. Jason needs a format like a Dirtle Modern. It is a way to neuter Modern and get rid of these super
hyper. That's my format that I play with myself. Yeah, on my testing spreadsheet, my 3-player format that I play with myself.
Oh, Patrick Chapin on his podcast, him and Michael Flores said, you should do a 2-player apprentice matches against yourself if you want to, you know, get an idea of your matchup. So, like, a 3-player is not too far from that. Like, so, you know, you're somewhere in the ballpark, I think.
He's gone deep. I mean, I think, was it on Aaron's podcast where he was talking about when he was in, you know, in the can, he would play with himself with just a regular deck of cards and, like, you know, these black cards under a certain number would be lightning bolts or you know cards, but red cards.
I mean, I remember. I think I listened to that.
No, it was actually. I think it was on Deck Tees.
But that does require that you're actually going to get some tournament results out of it instead of like you know.
Right. So that but what he was saying on the last episode was that you want to like do a 2-way test, not just gold. You know, have like a reasonable 2-way.
Yeah,
because the idea is that you could attack. Sure, that you're gonna play suboptimally, but at the same time, you're gonna appreciate what the other deck is doing and understand where they're trying to attack your deck so they can win. In a way,
you know who's the beatdown at all times.
Something
that's
like
important.
That.
Well, it's important to think about how the other person's trying to win because you are that other person.
Exactly. And so,
not gonna surprise you. You're not gonna blow yourself out with combat spells, but you're gonna. Like, learn what combat spells would blow you out at what point. Stuff like that.
Exactly.
It seems valuable.
Critical thinking. You just step out of the box a little bit. This applies to anywhere in your life, you know, and this is for the listeners. You just really, like, take a second to put yourself in someone else's shoes or just look at it not from your biases. And maybe, just maybe, you might come out with something that could change the way you think about stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I need to do more of that. Get locked in, too locked into my ways.
Seriously.
It's dangerous.
All the time.
I'm trying.
Like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I'm trying to do meditating right now, even though it's like a white guy doing meditating. It sounds so stupid, but just, you know, more and more people that I'm speaking to, is like they, you know, 15 minutes in the day, it doesn't matter what you do, to sit there, close your eyes, however the fuck you want to do it, breathe, but to spend time with your own mental and not be distracted by stuff that's outside. And, like, you know, spending time with yourself, I think, is invaluable and allows you the opportunity to at least know who you are instead of just being a reaction to what's going on. So that's just my little tidbit. I've been trying to work on that. So, you know, I'll come back in 6 months and let you know how.
I think it's a good way to put it, to just, like, stop, like, reacting. That's how I feel. Like, I'm just, like, worrying about shit and reacting to shit and... It wears you down.
It does. It's exhausting because you're trying to calculate or anticipate how you're going to have the best reaction or how you're going to make sure that you don't get fucked over. And that leaves you on edge and just, you know, just constantly criticizing or being critical of your own decisions. Are you making the right decisions? And it just wears you down over time. You know, sometimes you just gotta let it go.
Definitely. You gotta my dad over the last year has gotten into meditation, and he's always like, you should just try it out, man. Just try it out. Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet, but I know enough people that do it and that have had positive things to say about it that I know that there's something there. I just have not done it myself.
Because you're too busy. I always get, that's my excuse. I'm too busy. And, you know.
I mean, I'm not too busy to take. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a, I mean, I'm not so self-absorbed to think that I'm not too busy to cut 15 minutes out of my day. I could do that.
Yeah, or 10 minutes in the morning. Like, you know, before breakfast, you wake up, just. Bam, 10 minutes.
I don't think that rationally, but emotionally I feel like, oh my god, I'm so put upon by the world, I just can't fucking fuck with that shit right now.
I'm just, fuck you.
Exactly. Fuck. We're going to hell in a handbasket.
I deserve to not do that shit right now. Just cut that out for right now. Get down just easier shit while I'm in this phase of just stress.
Yeah. I hear you. Like, I've been stressed this past, like, you know, couple years, really. And I can say within the magic community since last year with the community cup announcement being cut. And, you know, as we see stuff. So, like, I've been a little stressed, and I know that I have to calm myself down and work on it. So that's something I've been actively working on. It's like, you know, stress is always going to be there. So what can I, because you're always going to be stressed. And really the only thing you can control is how you react to the stress. And really, if you don't worry about what you don't control, like, things do get easier. That's the only thing I can give advice on, and that's something I'm working on myself. It's hard, but ultimately that's the goal, you know, because I don't know, life is too short, and I got to enjoy the most out of this, because there's so much good stuff in the world, and I've been in this kind of, say, rut or semi-depressed even before the Trump, you know. Trump just kind of amplified that. And just like, I realized that, you know, you may not get the best out of life, but if you just really try to enjoy what you got and minimize the stress, everything becomes a bit better.
How can you have a kid and be depressed ever? Just hug a baby.
That does help.
That's a bold statement. Hugging babies.
Yeah, man. Don't fucking hug my baby. That's weird.
I, like, I love animals, but I can't.
If I came to Michigan,
you gotta ask me first. Here's the thing, man. I learned. No,
I wouldn't even say hi to you. I'd be like, "Where's that baby? Go give me that fucking baby now."
I learned about consent from the way people deal with my baby, because they're just like, "Oh, you got a baby," and they think that means they can touch my baby's fucking feet. No. You can't touch my baby's feet. Why does everyone want to touch my baby's goddamn feet without asking me if that's okay? You know? That's like if you're making out with a girl at a party, like, she didn't necessarily say yes to anal just because she's making out with you. Same thing. Just because I brought my baby out in public doesn't mean you can touch her fucking feet, you weirdo.
They need to, like, touch those toes and feel, like, five little toes on their finger or something. Like, get that effect.
Damn.
I didn't sign up for a baby toe audit just because I went to the fucking yarn barn, man. Come on. Don't touch my baby's feet.
What are you doing at the yarn barn, dog?
I don't know.
He's becoming yarn. He's becoming a soccer mom. Yarn barn?
Touch my kid's feet, you fucking weirdo. I don't say anything to people anymore. Like, the first couple times it happened, like, why did you touch my kid's feet? And sometimes it's like a person I don't even know that's just like being nice, and then like it makes shit real awkward, and my wife gets embarrassed. So like I can't say anything anymore.
Is there any like sex breakdown?
No, you'd think. It's more by age than by sex.
It'd
I guess.
Be really weird for dudes, like mostly dudes.
No, it's not mostly dudes, but it's like 50-50.
So wait, this is real. This is not you being sarcastic. I thought you were just bullshitting.
No, people will just like, ooh, they'll touch her feet.
So wait, does your lady have the same reaction, or is it just you that has this reaction?
I don't know. I talk about this more on stage than I do with my wife, because it's awkward. Because like when I would say shit to people, especially if they're strangers, and like it would get real awkward, and she like wouldn't like how awkward I made things.
Yeah.
So I think we don't really talk about it that much.
I think there's an innocence in what people are doing, but I can understand you being protective. But like feet is probably they're not. The fetish is not going to be there. I don't think someone that's
no,
going to be.
No, it's not a fetish thing. It's just like, you can wave to my kid, but like, why are you touching my kid? I never said you could fucking touch my kid. That's you know, and I wouldn't if someone's like, "Oh, can I touch her?" I'm not gonna say no, even if they're a stranger.
Is it like, the case that like her like pink feet are just like out?
Sometimes they're fucking Sometimes the little baby feet are just chilling.
First thing that people like, if you stick your hand out, like they're just out.
Yeah, like it's like in the handshake position, or like and they grab her foot just to shake it, like oh, hello to you, sir. Like they're an alien who doesn't understand our customs. I don't know, man. It's just I was just like, the first time someone just grabbed her fucking foot without even without a how do you do, I was really taken aback. I was like, people can just do that? People just grab fucking strange babies' feet? What in the world? Like,
but it's
what
like,
kind
it's
of
like
planet
the,
do we live on?
It's like the pinching of the cheeks, though, right? Isn't that like the,
I mean,
the
I'm
cliche
not super,
thing to do?
I don't know if it's like a just super annoying liberal thing, but I'm thinking about like, when
your
you were
dirty
a kid
ass hands
and
been.
Your fucking like grandmother wanted to kiss you, you just like, you gotta let your fucking weird grandmother or like just weird older person that you might not even understand your relationship to them, like do whatever. And I don't know, man, like how do we teach girls about consent? Yeah. Like if we don't start at an early age and it's like, hey man, if you fucking don't want your weird aunt to kiss you on your fucking face, I guess you don't have to allow that. But like, at what age do you tell them like, you can say no, it's gonna be really awkward. Like, it's not really socially acceptable to say no, but, like, you have to understand that you have ownership of your own body and your own space. I don't know how to interface that with the social contract, you know? It's going to – because kids don't understand nuance, so they're like, oh, I can say no, and they'll just say no all the time when it's like, no, you fucking – you can give your grandmother a smooch. Come on. So it's tough. I don't know how to fucking parent this thing.
That's the whole key to it. You don't know what you're doing. It's a test. So she's going to have her first reaction, and then you're going to tell her, and then she's going to have a reaction that you don't like, and then you're going to adjust to it. You're going to be like, let's do it this way. And then over time, eventually you're going to refine the process because you're super uncomfortable.
And then I'll have a second kid, and I'll know more about how not to fuck up the second kid. And the second kid will turn up way more well-adjusted than my first kid. So
supposedly,
that's probably what will happen. Yeah, you'd think.
In theory.
Yeah.
So you guys don't have kids, so I'm sorry that you guys got to deal with this talk, but like, kid will really change your life, and it's cliche as fuck, but seriously, like, your life does change, and it revolves, and a kid's a beautiful thing, and it gives you a purpose, so.
It took me off autopilot, because now I got to think about everything. I didn't used to think about, like, oh, where's the cabinet where we keep the bleach, and now it's like, oh, fucking, she can crawl now. She could open that cabinet, so now everything's
I've had animals before. I love animals, but I don't want to keep an animal right now.
No.
Like, I love dogs, like, getting nice. I know, like, all, like, the breeds of, like, dogs and cats I would get. Love it.
Here, you have a spreadsheet. JR's favorite dog breeds, the spreadsheet.
But we talked about before the show, like, definitely I need to do that at some point. Not like in a million years.
I think your chances of getting laid goes up like exponentially if you get a cute dog.
I think that does happen.
I'm not gonna I'm not gonna take care of a dog in the city. I'm so fucking lazy. I don't want to like walk the fucking dog.
I have a door that I open,
and my dog goes into my backyard that's fenced in, and I still that's too much inconvenience. For me.
that to me would be fine, but having to like. Go into a fucking elevator and interact with people, and your dog interacting in the fucking elevator, and every time it's like, we're gonna need to get off the elevator. No. Like, fuck that. Even if they're well trained, even if they get well trained, still.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to, like.
Interact with people if you don't want to. Yeah. And what if you're drunk? Like, you're like, goodness.
Off hours, yeah. Because it's like you're off hours, like, you know, a decent amount of time the weekends or whatever. Like.
Oh, trust me, I got a dog, and it's like, oh, I gotta go walk your ass right now. Fuck. But you know that's what you got to do, and it's a responsibility. Yeah, pets can suck
cats
sometimes.
I could deal with some cats, but I'm allergic as fuck.
No, your condo's too small. It's not a small condo, but it's too small to have a cat.
You should
too small to have a cat. Get the fuck out of here.
Where are you gonna put a litter box?
He could get
anywhere.
JR would toilet train.
I have an attic. I have an attic room where I keep like holiday materials right now, but. I could make like steps on the wall with like orange 70s carpeting for the cats to go up to the attic
Oh, that'd
like
be sick.
Shit up there.
And they got a ball, like a disco ball going. It's a cat disco. Yeah. Now, but what you need to get though is you need to get an aquarium. Like, do a nice little built-in side one on the corner right there, where by the bathroom.
My thing is, like, I'm getting palm trees now, and I have a test tree now. It's a yucca tree, which looks kind of like a palm tree, but and if I manage to keep it alive for like through the winter, basically, I'm gonna get a palm tree, an English palm tree, and like a bigger one. So it's gonna be intense in here. Straight out of, like, you need to like come to New York, because like when everyone was here aside from Slick, like this place was basically like a fucking dorm room, like
so what does it look like now?
It's definitely, it's changed a lot. It's definitely
it's straight out of Mad Men, basically. It's like better than the sets on Mad Men, like.
All right.
Definitely looks like you took a still from like a 70s set, and it was just like there. Did you get the bathroom or done? Or is that happening this month?
It's happening right now. There's work being done, so right. it's in the process.
I need to come to New York again. I definitely do. Like it needs to happen. Maybe next year. I definitely, since we're not going to go do Copenhagen, and that can't happen.
Yeah, even going back to the Community Cup, like it just seems like when that year that it happened, that was like only 2 years ago. Like I was like, when you guys all came to hang out here, I was like, oh, this is probably something that's going to happen like at least once a year, like, you know, maybe twice a year. And then just a variety of things. And just, I think the overall sort of like psychology of the magic community also, you know, it's just a strange thing. I don't want to be negative. Like, I think like there is a specific kind of demographic thing where there was like a certain cohort of people who came back to the game at a certain point and it felt a certain way to them, and now it's a really hard job. I don't envy WotC, like it, because ultimately they want to like sell standard, but at this point everyone has kind of figured out that standard isn't where you want to be. So I think like Frontier, even it may not even be as you know, a lot, some people have said this, a couple of people have said this, but a alternative to modern so much as an alternative to standard ultimately, the way it ultimately works out. But it's a hard equation for WotC to maximize all like the different things.
Well, they prioritize new people, and I think that's, you know, the with the birds are coming to roost, or how's
one
that
thing they could do is like provide better prize port for standard, so they could have something like Frontier, or, you know, like old or the last extended, which maybe you have like a 4-year rolling thing, but maybe it changes once a year. So it's like the past 4 years, but it changes once a year. That would be replacing standard to some extent, but you would have better prize support for standard. So if you went to FNM and won a standard event, you would get these special packs and special promos and stuff. So I feel there's a way to, like, I think they're losing the battle with standard, and they're going to need to like actually retreat a little bit from standard and Frontier, something like Frontier or like extended might be that place eventually,
but not anytime soon. And I think they doubled down on standard, and I think they're all in, because as far as like for the numbers for the shareholders, standards is what looks best. Yeah. That's why they doubled down on, you know, expeditions in every set. And
that's true, but that could change in 4 quarters. It could just roll over, and the psychology could get depressed and bad, you know, on those matters.
But I think they're prepping for the surges of people being interested due to the Magic movie, and I think they're putting a lot down on that.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard anything about that. Is that
are they shooting?
I don't know.
I heard they like hired some Game of Thrones writers, which is like cool.
But that was like years ago. That was like 3 years ago at this point. Like I don't even know, right?
But that's then, if it's been in production for 3 years, then you should be close to finish. But
we don't know. I haven't heard
anything about casting or anything. Are they in production?
No studio has like put it on their slate, right? But
yeah.
So I think they held off on it because they saw the sort of disparity. Maybe they got scared off by, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do a superhero movie or whatever. And the way they were like envisioning it, they were like, oh, this would just like flop, you know. And they just stopped that specific idea. I almost feel like that's what it was. Like it was like a superhero based movie, but it was a shitty one. And then
Suicide Squad and shit like that.
Well,
it would have been like, before that.
It was like cold. It was like cold product at that point. It was like, oh yeah, we're not doing that. So I almost like feel I get that vibe from like the Magic movie. And there's no other screenplay right now that's like, oh yeah, this is the movie. So I feel like if you wrote a screenplay for the Magic movie, that's actually a good idea.
So I think we're like we had a renaissance with Return to Ravnica, or we learned people were, you know, romantic about Ravnica, and it didn't turn out as good as people thought, but it was still a great set, and I think a lot of people came back because of that. And I think we're starting to see that, you know, people's attention is dwindling, and there's this shift. A lot of new people are playing have come in the last 3 years, and I've seen that within the community, within the SUV, with the SVU. SUV.
You caught it. At least you caught it. I was just going to let that one hang.
But, you know, it's definitely a shift. So, I mean, I don't know. Is Wizards losing control of what's keeping people impassioned about the game? Are we just shifting in general? Or is it just, you know, natural progression of people that they just fall out of the game after so long, and it's only so long that you can keep them in?
I don't know. I think they gave people what they said they wanted, and that was a fucking mistake. Because people are fucking idiots, and if you give them what they say they want, they're not going to be happy with it.
What do you mean, in terms of what?
Because the more people think they know about what they want, A, people are idiots and don't know. They literally don't know what they want. And B, if you try to go too directly to what they say they want, they think they know more about it than you do. So it's like, if they feel like they're experts on what they want, and you try to replicate what they're talking about and make it appeal to a broad audience, they're like, no, I wouldn't have done these specific things. You didn't do it right. I would have done it better. So if you give people something that like, it's just new and be like, dude, this is the shit. You're just going to have to like this. They're more likely to, but if you give them what they say they want, they're probably not going to be happy for, you know, a bunch of reasons.
So like, what things are you talking about that they say they want that they've gotten?
Dude, I don't know. Like they ask people for input on everything.
I think what Jason's talking about is familiarity breeds contempt, almost. Like just, I think.
Yeah, to an extent, because if people like, oh, I think things should be this way, and if you don't do it exactly like they say, they'll be upset. But also, it's too specific, and it's not going to appeal broadly. And also, like, people, I don't know, there's a, Malcolm Gladwell did a really good TED Talk where he talked about people, you know, if you ask people what they want, like, if you ask people what they like in their coffee, like, oh, I like a strong, robust blend, which is horseshit, because everybody puts, like, 11 pumps of vanilla shit and 8 packets of sugar in their coffee. You don't want a robust blend. You like weak, milky coffee. Everybody, that's what people actually drink. But if you ask them, they don't say that, because they don't even know. So... it's the human brain. It's not just like, oh, people suck. It's just like the way the human brain's wired. We think we know what our preferences are, but like that's the main thing I've learned in 32 years on this earth is like, if you ask me what I think I'm going to want before I do something, I'm almost always wrong. And like, anytime I don't get my way, I end up way happier because I have a new experience. So when they ask players too much about the way they think it should be, they're going to fucking go the wrong way, and the players are going to get frustrated, you know? And they're like, oh, this isn't what I wanted. And people are just going to bitch, and you just can't listen to the people bitching, because maybe 20 million people playing Magic isn't a sustainable number. Because, like, the game's expensive. Nobody has any fucking money. We're not going to have any jobs. You don't want a robot to do in your job. Can you afford a $4 booster pack? I don't know, man.
That's what I'm saying. I've been saying Magic is too expensive, and you guys have basically eviscerated me on Brainstorm Brewery, and I'm just like, in this modern age of gaming, Magic, the cost of playing a limited game is like a Steam game that people could get, you know, 40 hours of enjoyment out of. And
well,
here
I'm,
you are,
I'm
$12.
I'm not saying make Magic cheaper. I'm saying lose a few fucking pours. I don't care about them.
Okay.
They can go fucking play something for free. I don't care.
Well, no, but Magic is far too expensive. I mean, to play For like limited is sustainable if you don't suck, but if you suck, it's not. It's gonna cost you a good amount of money, and it's gonna cost you money to get good.
It's gonna be a niche thing.
But constructed magic is a fucking nightmare, man. And like, if you love it and that's what you want to do, then you know, and that's what you want to spend your money on, like that's cool. But like, sit down, do yourself a favor, and crunch the numbers. Like, you know,
well, no, it's even like, who was the Sperling published something that was like that take on, oh, it, you know, it's not so good to be a Magic Pro League. Who is that even directed to in this year? Like,
for real?
Like, that would have made sense like years ago. Like, yeah, like in 2012. That would have been a good article, but
yeah, it's no, like but Donald Trump writing an article bitching about the high cost of lobster tails.
No, no, but it's like no one had that illusion that being on the Pro Tour is actually like.
No,
being
I think
on
there's.
The Pro Tour.
Like, I think there's people out there that are chasing the dream. I think he did. I think that message actually reaches out for some people, and there's
sure,
people out here
sure.
that are F&M grinders, the Timmys, you know, according to Ryan, that breathe too much magic for their own good. And they'll never be anything in magic. They'll always be on the sideline, and they spend too much of their life for something that's not going to really give them what they really need out of life. And they may look in like 5 or 6, 7, 8 years, and like,
yeah.
I have some good experiences, but what do I have? And where am I going to make money now? You know, what am I going to do for my family? How am I going to be an adult? Because I thought, you know, maybe this could turn into something, and ultimately. You know, the people at the top, but they tell me now that this is not something you can do. You know, you have no career in being a professional Magic player. You're going to have to do something else and put this in your side time. This is only for college students. If you have that reality, you know, placed in front of you, I think it gives people a little bit better expectations about
what
they're gonna...
You know, I don't know. Magic is so much fun. It's so much fun. But, like, the dream of going pro and being able to make a good living. Like the thing is, but Magic players are on the whole, usually pretty smart people, whether or not, you know,
yeah.
they're good, smart or smart, dumb motherfuckers. They're usually, they have good cognitive abilities for the most part. And people with good cognitive abilities can usually make an above average salary given the right, you know, circumstances. But if you try to be a pro Magic player, it's like, you're not, it's just, and you have to spend so much to get there, too.
Well, even not necessarily yeah. being a pro, but, like, I have ambitions. I want to get on the pro tour, you
yeah.
know? I would love to be able to set myself up and have the opportunity where I can make money and a living and then maybe play enough magic that I could actually make the pro tour. That would be, like, a bucket list for me. But I know that the opportunity cost is so high on putting myself in a situation where I could be there. I could probably do it. But I'm gonna have to spend 40 hours grinding out these deck lists, you know, X amount of time to do this just to get to this little section, get
yeah.
on the pro tour, and then there you're just that's a stage one, you know, and it's like
it's
a hell
really
of a
kind of a pipe dream. Like you think about like there's like 40 platinum players, like so you were talking about platinum, silver, but really like to be pro, you know, like platinum, like maybe like 40 platinum players. So I mean. Of course, football is a lot more popular, but there's like 800 people in the NFL. like
yeah, and like
small.
the minimum salary is like 125 a year.
Yeah, there's
like a backup kicker.
I don't know nowadays.
Like,
so they you have an end game. If you dedicate your life to this and you really put your money in your time and your effort and your passion behind football, even if you don't become a football player, but there's like support staff. So if you dedicate your time to football, there's a career there for you that actually will pay you off and you can support your family with. But Magic, you can't do that. And in a way, for you to be good at Magic, it requires you to sacrifice your life in some shape, form, or fashion, amount of time, in your free time, or whatever it is that you may have so that you get good at Magic so that you can make this pro tour that
yeah.
ultimately
I,
doesn't
I
pay
have,
off.
I have a good friend of mine that's you know, a two down a series linebacker on the Atlanta Falcons, the guy I grew up with.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I mean, I know Magic players that have wasted or not waste, but they've dedicated more time and made comparable life sacrifices to what he's done. Cause I've known, we've been friends since, you know, I was like 12 and he was 10 and you know, it's crazy to me to see that, you know, for a goal that's really like, well, what are you going to get? I don't, you know, I mean, and like I said, Magic is so much fun, and to be able to play it professionally, even if you're not making a good amount of money, you know, I could see that as a desirable thing, but like, and also Magic's not a sport, right? You can play Magic for far longer than you can play a professional sport.
And I keep saying the same thing. Every, you know, it's not a secret where like you're maybe like wooing a person to marry, and it's just it's awkward. It's like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Like,
but see, I think with Standard, that's a problem for Standard. If it's so hard to actually get on the Pro Tour, and then, you know, say, all right, I want to put in, you know, six weeks of hard grinding right here, and maybe out of my 6 weeks, or, you know, 3 months, or, you know, you put 6 months of there, you get some results, and you actually go somewhere with there, and it's attainable. Then it's like, you know, you spend all this money on Standard, it's worthwhile. But as it currently goes, you're spending, you know, buku amounts of Standard for just a bunch of packs that you could open up, you know, prize packs. And that's essentially what most people get out of Magic. And I just think that that creates it so that it's harder for you to really want to get into and care about Standard. So in a way, that cannibalizes Standard, because, you know, it requires such a dedication for you to, if you're going to spend, you know, $300-$400 on a deck, then you're going to want to grind out events and get something out of it. And ultimately, if that doesn't happen, then what are you going to do? You're going to take that $300-$400 and say, I'll buy some games on Steam, or I'll buy a DS or something else like that. So I think because of the barrier to go somewhere with it, and such a steep curve, that it prevents people from actually wanting to get into Standard.
Speaking of DS, how's Sun and Moon working out for you?
It's good. I haven't got as far I'm still on the second island, almost at the end, and I haven't played it. Played a whole lot. I only played like, you know, maybe 8 hours or so. But it's interesting. It's quite different. The last time I played was Gold, so the 3D.
I don't play with the 3D on. That's
Well, I mean, just 3D environment. The characters in a 3D environment. I'm used to sprites and shit.
Yeah, the quality of life improvements are so worth it, though, man.
It really is.
The fact that you can, like, you can, you know, when you catch Pokemon, you can add it right to your party. And there's not, like, when you go to the PC, there's no menu. It goes right to your boxes, and you can do it. Like, it's not that withdrawal, deposit. Like,
yeah, the tediousness.
There's so many things that are very intuitive that make it, like, so much of a better experience.
Or the Pokeball on the Y, like that is phenomenal.
Yeah, my God, so good, so good.
I didn't see that at first. So I was going to menu, and then I was like, man, this is such a pain in the ass to get the Pokeball. I was like, it can't be this hard. And then I saw the button, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm a genius here. But it's cool. Yeah. I like it. I can say, you know, because Pokemon Go got me back into it, and I could feel. I feel less excited about Pokemon Go now that I got Sun and Moon. So I think there's like a limit to how much Pokemon I could play. So they cannibalize each other.
Pokemon Go, Jesus, it must be.
Marcel lives in a place where they actually have the good tracker. So
yeah, well, the tracker's now United States.
It is now worldwide. Yeah.
Or not worldwide, but United States wide and some parts of Europe and shit. And I got a nephew that plays, and my dad actually plays. He's like on level 25. So. There's like a level of.
Your dad's a higher level than I am.
There's some friendly competition.
I mean, you can't do it walk. You can't do it walking around me. But like, you have to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, not being able to get stops between places where you're driving, and just not being able to do it in the car anymore, it's just not worth it for me. Well, I mean, you could still do it in the car. My wife and I played together.
Yeah.
And we would like take the baby out, and the baby would sleep, which was nice. But no, we just don't do it anymore. They made it too fucking hard.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah. I think they don't realize, and is the end game is so bad. Like, Pokemon Go was fun, and I thought it was going to change the fabric of society, and that was definitely hyperbolic. But I mean, in terms of the gaming on that level where you have people coming outside and playing, I think it's phenomenal. But Pokemon Go could only go so far, and it's cool. Well, but
being in a city is awesome.
Yeah. Yes, city.
Yeah, you guys are spoiled. And I'm not even in the fucking sticks. Like, I'm in a decent-sized town that has, like, a university. So anybody that lives in a smaller town than me, they're completely fucked.
Yeah, see, but, I live in Oakland, and in comparison to San Francisco, there is definitely a difference. And yeah. And Oakland's still a city, like this is entirely a city, but they treat it because there's so much residential compared to commercial, and they only make the stops. So I think their entire game plan around what most of America is bad, and they're not actively working on fixing that. So that's going to create the situation where people just can't play. Like, what are you going to do? Like, what's the point? You know, and they're not addressing this. And I think, you know, they're going to bleed a lot more players, but because they're the number one game right now, they don't care. They're like, well, we're good. We could bleed out people all the time.
They're paving the way for like a revolution in gaming. Like, Pong looks like shit now, if you look at Pong, but like it was the first game. People went, holy shit, this is possible. And I think that's what Pokemon Go did. It said, this is possible. If you think this is like all the kids are couch potatoes and they're not going to go outside, look how many fucking people are playing Pokemon Go. So if the game itself isn't perfect, it doesn't matter, because what it did was usher in a new sort of paradigm for a portion of the games people make. Yeah,
I think
in that respect, it was really successful.
I've always said where I think the strength for Pokemon Go, they were going to move fast enough, and they're obviously not, because they're not that nimble of a company, is creating a platform. And then through Pokemon Go, they could have a social network in a way. No way. They're glacial on moving stuff. They're like slower than Magic Online in terms of moving stuff. So the odds of that happening is very far, but they had the opportunity to make that happen. And I think someone's going to capture that whole social network and actually, because you go out and you go Pokemon Go, it's cool. You see people, but now it's actually awkward to talk to somebody. And if you're talking to a girl, it's the same kind of, I got my headphones on. Just because I'm playing Pokemon Go don't mean you could talk to me. And there's an awkwardness that, you know, initially when it first came out, that wasn't there. But as the social norm developed, it became like Pokemon Go is between you and your close friends. It's not you and the community. And someone's going to be able to have an app, a game, or something that brings people together and actually socialize and mingle in some shape, form that's not going to be creepy. So when someone does that, this is going to be, a bread maker. And so.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Bop, bop, bop.
JR's hype for the Pokemon talk.
Oh, just the air horns going off, dropping the truth.
Dropping bombs like Hiroshima.
Hiroshima didn't drop any bombs.
Good guys. Good guys. All the good guys.
Oh, my God. Truman.
Dropping bombs like the good guys. Dropping bombs.
We're all good guys here.
We're all just good fellas. Don't concern yourself with Money Draft.
Holy
shit, have you guys, I think you guys have seen, I don't know, Marcel, I don't know if you've seen, but
yes.
The shit that Tyler's making?
The deck boxes?
Do you see the cube box?
That was beautiful. I love the pattern on top. So if you, it's like Money Draft logo, you know, tiled, but tilted to the side, and looks perfect. It's like an onset and an offset one. And
yeah,
beautiful. I love the word.
It's like if we had like a blotter acid brand.
Why don't we have a blotter acid?
Money Draft acid blotter sheets with no acid.
In the future, when it's legal.
Well, I'm serious. Why don't you guys get money clips? Like, you could literally get. I was looking at it. You get custom money clips with something. It'll cost a little bit, but you can have it done with a Money Draft blotter. Like, it's not too expensive.
I keep a wallet with like slots for credit cards, though, so like it doesn't a money clip like I just I
they get a wallet
a lot of time.
They get a wallet you yeah, can get no, you gotta get a like, wallet with an impression money, like literally this high-end merchandise, you could just keep it limited, be like, all right, we want to sell 20, if you want to get, we need 20 people to buy this, and we're only going to sell 20, so if you want to get in, it costs this amount of money, it's going to be like 30-40 bucks, and I'm sure you're going to have a number of people that be like, yeah, I'll spend 30 bucks on a Money Draft wallet with the, you know, with the iron cast iron impression on there. It says bad motherfucker on one side and Money Draft on the other.
Which wallet's yours? The one that says bad motherfucker on it.
Good reference, like that.
I gotta talk to Tyler and get one of those deck boxes in Jack's hands before he goes to Dublin for the next Pro Tour.
So my only criticism about that is I don't like the dovetails on the wood, but I guess that's the best thing that he can do to make it so that it connects together. But it is some way that he can get it so the dovetails aren't on.
I want to see it. I mean, Tyler lives in Philly, so I gotta like go see this shit in person, because I haven't. I've only seen it in Twitter. So I definitely need to. I need to link up with him soon.
Well, I'm serious. Do a limited edition. Do 20 right now. Whoever wants to get on, it's going to cost X amount of dollars. There's 20 to 20 edition. You're going to have it numbered. It'll be seared on there. This is going to be the first edition of Money Draft Deck Boxes. If you want it, hit up Slick, hit up JR, hit up Jason. Say you want it.
Yeah. It's definitely something that we could consider doing. I just got to talk to Tyler about A, if it's feasible, and B, what the reasonable cost would be. But it's something that that could be seen in the near future.
An equilibrium can't be reached.
We'll do 20, but like if we do ones for me, Jason, JR, and like you, would just have like those will be like special. It'll be like, you know, 1 out of 20, 2 out of 20, but all of ours would just say 666 out of 20. It'll be worth it.
You can put 13 for me.
God is dead, man. We scared him away.
Oh man, the community cup. I think like someone may have mind tricked Watsy into canceling the community cup.
I mean, they canceled the community cup a while ago, right?
Like, yeah.
No, well, they just did, right? Like.
Well, they did. So officially, they Trick put out with a post not too long ago said, yeah. "Oh yeah, we ran out of time.
We forgot it." Like we.
That's the biggest bullshit. Now, Trick either he had a fall on the sword, and I respect him if he fell on the sword, or he really thinks we're that fucking stupid, but whatever, you know.
The community, they want a curated group of people. They don't want a community cup.
You could have even said we're transferring it to these other like super leagues or whatever, like, you know, which they did.
That's what the new trend. Don't let fucking people vote. You vote for John Scott for the All-Star game, and you let people vote.
Good point.
And the NHL's like, you know what? Fuck fan voting. You fucking assholes ruin it. You don't get to vote anymore for the All-Star game. So the NHL is like, fuck it. There's a John Scott rule now, you pieces of shit.
But you know what?
I don't know, man. That's probably good brand management.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's a smart decision from them because ultimately the Community Cup is going to elect somebody by populist vote that they don't want there and is not representative of their community that they want to have out there. And as a multinational brand as they are, it's just smarter for them to curate their cup. And in a way...
Yeah, well,
the streamers are kind of doing that, though.
You can't have public voting when Magic wants to be the Tumblr of video games. Like, it's just not going to work out for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I respect the decision from a business standpoint, so I can understand that. But it doesn't mean I got to like it, but, you know, I respect it.
If somebody that I didn't like personally wasn't on the Community Cup, I could give a fuck about it anyway. So, you know, it's no big loss, frankly.
Yeah.
Sometimes, as a general rule, you shouldn't feel slighted about stuff. But sometimes, like, you feel like a little, little bit of like a specific slighting, like a.
Hey, man, I mean, I don't want to think my head's that big, but I think there was a definite slight. You know, shit happens.
Yeah,
shit happens.
These ass motherfuckers is gonna like reap the shit every year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if like, I didn't, you know, like honestly, like we were talking about before the cast, you know, I'm applying for different jobs soon, and you know, if I didn't think and go on Glassdoor and read and have firsthand accounts about how shitty working for Wizards is, that would be one of my first choices. You know, I'll take my talents to Seattle and go work at Wizards of the Coast, except for the fact that it sounds fucking miserable and you get underpaid. Like,
even in like other departments, like,
yeah,
because I know,
yeah, yes, yes,
like non Magic games, you're saying, JR,
but on Halloween, you can make forts, right? You could like make forts out of your area,
yeah, and that's what we call non trivial. That's a perk,
that is a perk.
You can make forts no matter what job you have, man.
When I broke my leg, I paid for it with forts.
There you go.
You do get some health insurance. I mean, that's a good one. It's one of the reasons why inflation hasn't taken off. It's actually a big thing, because your employer has to pay your health insurance, so there can't be a wage spiral inflation, which is part of the problem with inflation in the like 70s and 80s. So it's like a short circuit to a wage spiral because your employer has to pay your health insurance.
So how does that prevent the wage spiral?
Because they only have so much money to pay overall, because the inflation is concentrated in something that they have to pay. So they can't just decide to pay you more.
Because they only have so much that they could pay. So they...
I don't know. I don't know how that JR's logic works, man.
I don't know. I'm just trying to break it down
for
people.
That sounds like some supply-side economic shit to me.
Yeah, break it down. Because I want you to hear you flesh this out, this idea. Because it sounds... I'm sorry, I'm not quite grasping it. Maybe it's because I'm a little drunk.
It's just sort of like a drag. Basically, it's a drag on wages, because they have to, in addition to your wage, they have to pay your health care.
And so that's your real wage, in essence, is your wage plus the health care?
Plus your health care, right.
And so because of that, that means your real wage can only go up so high because you have this added fixed cost, or not necessarily fixed cost, but...
Especially from their point when they're... dealing with their budget every year, they see that, you know, this part of it is going up year after year. So they're like on top of it. And, you know, so it has the effect. It's not a huge effect. It's not affecting it by 20%, but it has a definite effect on it.
And so that affects the interest rate, because wages aren't going up because of that, the weight of these plans.
Not the interest rate, but just the profitability for them.
Okay. But where did the interest rate come in? I thought you said that earlier. Never mind. All right. I'm going to leave this.
The interest rates are going up under Trump. And the reason is because, like, essentially what that means is that the credit rating on the United States is going up or going down, right? The reason why interest rates are, like, it's a weird thing when the country itself, and again, like, people say, like, oh, Trump is bankrupting the country. It's like, yeah, well, bonds are going down, which means interest rates are going up. So it's almost like, but ultimately, the United States can't default. There'll just be inflation. Like, that's how big countries sort of, like, default, is there's just inflation. And dollars, the unit, is just worth less, so... just, you don't have to transfer as much value.
Well, there you go. There's your money corner for Money Draft. Taught you a little something this week.
Money corner.
Money corner.
JR has to, like, run to get a brew. Like, if we want to get into the cube discussion.
This cube. I actually think Slick doesn't want us to talk about the cube. He thinks it's a waste of time.
I don't
want to
talk about the cube either. Isn't that, like...
No, I don't mind talking about the cube, which I think we should, but I think if you read the notes that JR sent out, it's about 45 minutes dedicated to a cube no one's ever going to play again.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the important part, is talking about why people aren't going to play this again, because I heard a lot. I haven't played it myself, and I heard a lot of negative reviews about it. So okay. I want to hear your guys' opinion why you think this won't be played again.
Well, one, because it's You Make the Cube, and I think it's a one-time event, and I don't think they're going to bring back the cube that won. I think if they do it again, they'll bring back a different cube. But I didn't hate the cube. I had fun the times we played it.
I heard it was the X1. So the criticism I heard was, like, it was the X1 format, and that people all ultimately didn't play the broken or the converted color pie. They just picked good cube cards and it became the good stuff cube. What do you think about that?
The green stompy deck, green machine, or what people outside of Toronto call stompy, was a sweet deck that's underrated. And I don't really read a lot of articles, but from what I've seen of, like, the Channel Fireball drafts and like one Reddit summary, people did not really respect the green machine to the degree it should, with the one drops you have and the two drops and stuff, you know, Warfare Silverheart become immense. And it just seemed to be open a lot. It just did not get respect. And so in terms of, like, the pure color pie concept, blue should be the aggro deck, which it was somewhat. It had this wizard sort of synergy bullshit, which I think should maybe be shifted more to just merfolk, which would be more serious kind of. And in blue, there were some cards, specifically Serendip Efreet was the one that just really stood out. I think Serendip Efreet is overused in cubes for nostalgia purposes. And in most cubes, it just doesn't really serve a purpose in that sort of aggro deck that wants that blue creature. But this is the one cube where
it should have shined.
Why Serendip Efreet should be in this fucking cube. The other one is the the owl that like won two Pro Tours, judges familiar. Why is that? That's like that for what you want to be doing in, you know, for this. But the thing that sticks out, and it's tough because the green there. So there are too many green creatures. Like really, like if you have like a Twisted Cube, there should be more green spells than creatures. But still, a lot of green creatures relative to spells, and the Stompy theme. But I like it because you don't usually get to do that in Cube, and there are.
You just go mono ramp and green, and it's just like.
Or you go if you want to go aggro, you just like draft red. Basically, you don't end up wanting a good card like a Basking Root Walla or a Wild Mongrel. Like
so was your Cube experience fundamentally different from what you normally experience with Cube with this one, or was this just a slight shift?
It's a slight shift, but I think it's interesting. Like it's enough of a shift. It's more of a brewer's like it appeals to your sense of brewing and deck building because you're like, what are the incremental changes that you can make to this, you know? And so like there are, but I think like if you went in and, you know, yeah, it's probably a one-off, but if you went in and like made like five or six changes in each color, I think it would be a lot better.
What about you, Slick? What was your opinion about it?
I mean, I'm not as, I mean, yeah, like there are definitely some archetypes that are possible, that were possible with this cube, that were definitely things that just would not hang in a normal cube. But example being like green aggro, like JR said, like the two of the key ones that I noted were like green aggro, blue wizards, white life gain, sigil of the empty throne dot deck.
Yeah. So, and the thing about enchantments is like there's a lot of removal that's enchantments. So like that's
got
a big.
People were splashing for white often, so it wasn't going around.
If you're in, you're picking up the O-rings, you're picking up the betters, and so yeah. So you can do remove. That's another thing you can do. Reanimator with white, but I don't know. There's a lot of removal, and not a lot of like haste or hexproof in terms of, you know what you're dealing with there in terms of reanimating stuff. So. Did you have any like in terms of big creature decks, I've seen good big creature decks, but did you Slick have any good experiences? Well, I guess we saw that one big creature deck you had.
Yeah, we had a reanimator. I mean all the reanimate spells are white. Like that's like it's like, oh, like it's not normal reanimator because all the reanimate spells are white. Well, they still do the same thing and like
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, JR was like, well, JR's argument against Reanimator was that, like, that there's a lot of single target removal, but, like, we just took it, and then we won. Like, we,
how good of a win? Was it just...
We 3-0'd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't fair.
We 3-0'd with Reanimator, then we, like, 0-1 dropped with, some like fucking four color trash pile, and then we tried to do green Stompy in the third draft.
Oh god, and then, that was the worst thing ever.
It wasn't the worst. We ended up being 2-1. We just audibled from green Stompy into Jund and had a deck.
Just thinking about myself though was the worst. Like
he was like, that's when I was downhill in the hair spiral.
But I dropped off after the first win. I was just like, I don't even like this deck. I'm dropping off. That's how bad it is. Like,
I've been there before. Yeah,
it's nice. So,
yeah, we were
I was
streaming
advocating in the second one. I was advocating for Stompy the whole draft, and we saw everything go by. We'd had like a nice curve of one drops and two drops and tricks, and then in the first, I think the first pick was Wolfier Silverheart. I don't remember what else was in the pack, but that was like the first pick. It's like, all right, we're going in. That's like a good first pick, Wolfier Silverheart. And then we had like one or two more cards, and it was just like either cut or just not. It was just
well,
like
no. After you tilted off and dropped off the Skype call, like this, the guy we played in the second round had all the green early drops. Like it was definitely getting cut because the guy we played in round two.
Like, I'm used to playing League, so yeah, I guess, you know, yeah.
Yeah, first of all, I don't fuck with draft leagues, man.
I'm just trying to, like, maximize games, and I'm trying
draft
to, like,
leagues are awesome, man. No. The savior from Moto, without a doubt.
Oh my god. If your goal is just to satiate your desire to play Magic, then I get it, but I don't know. I part of the thing about a draft for me is like being able to read the packs, read signals, like, and then know that those are the people that I'm gonna play against. Like, that's part of the mental game for me that's appealing, right? If I just wanna like
I think that aspect is like maybe appreciate it more, but I just think that part of it is like when you lose that nuance.
It's way more than 2% for me.
I think even for people who are at that level, if they like were in a deck and then someone has a better version of that deck than them and clearly worked less, they don't feel good about that.
Well, I would rather play sealed leagues because that's more true to what sealed is. But like for me, a draft league is not like it's not the same, man. I know that people
that
love
said,
it.
That said, I do it all. That's what I do because I just want to like maximize games and like learn about the format. Yeah. And I don't care if I'm just solely bleeding money away versus having good hits with my brain trust of Philly sad boys.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get that far with these draft leagues. I don't need a peer experience because the peer experience that I'm going to get out of it and what I'm really going to do, I'm not going to get on the Pro Tour. I'm not going to go, you know, top 8 at GP. So, yeah, if I was trying to do that, maybe I would want the peer experience so I could be the best that I could be. But if I'm just trying to play some drafts, like that 3-hour block or 4-hour block, it could be 3 to 4 hour block that you have to etch out of your life so that you could play a draft is just not worth it for me. You know, I could do a draft league. Oh shit, I did the draft and I have to go do something else and I could play the other 3 games later, or I could play the first game and this sucks. Let me take a day or two off and then come back and maybe, you know, lose again but not feel so bad about it and get into another draft. You know, shit like that can happen. And I just think that whole aspect of making the draft more accessible is worth whatever percentage of not a pure game, for me at least, you know, given my lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes, you know, that's totally valid. That's totally valid. That format is certainly not for me.
Yeah.
But I could certainly see, you know, if my at home time got more hectic, or if I just didn't want to commit to 2.5 hours to do a draft, then yeah.
Yeah. Everyone has a different cup. That's what's so good about Magic is like, you know, they're able to figure out how they need to get out of the game. And there's something for everyone. You don't have to have, you can't please everybody with everything. So you have a variety of stuff.
Yeah. That's very true.
There are a lot of, you guys seen these combos in this format? There's a list of them.
What are the combos, JR? You got it. Let me see the spreadsheet.
I don't think
machine
about, like,
gun these.
Like, sort of running a podcast is like, at some point, if you talk about the stuff that you want to talk about, you get to the point where it's a little bit, you'd rather just like be, you just like have people ask questions. But
see, that's why you got to blow your wad early on. I learned that early in the podcast. Is just
right.
Get it out.
But with Money Draft, it tends like the quote unquote JR topics tend to be late. It's like a series of like shit about haunted houses and like cat suicide legends, you know. I don't know. So Basilisk Collar in this cube is any, there's a lot of pingers like Sharpshooter, which you can basically continuously use to just kill every creature. Garblin Sharpshooter, Leonin Bolas, and Wall of, or any wall really. So when I first saw this card, I was like, whatever, but it's like an icy manipulator that's pretty cheap. It's a one drop artifact, and I think you equip it for zero. I don't actually know, but the point is, it basically, you can equip it to a wall and then block a creature and also tap a creature. So you can 2-for-1 God. With this combo. God. All
right. I think we heard the combos for the day.
The black grindy stuff, the Harris, those are the payoff cards.
the incremental I'm gonna get you eventually cars. I love it though.
I think like there's, but that's like a lure, and maybe a, you don't want to go into the black stuff unless you have those payoff cards specifically where like it actually rewards you for sacking everything. The Quicksilver amulet, sneak it. Like that's the, like I've seen good versions of the ACT deck and bad versions, mostly bad. You have the Quicksilver amulet. That like that's the big, like if you just draft, if you see that in the draft, like that's the one where I'm like, all right, I'm trying to be disciplined, but if it's like, you know, within the first pack and a half or whatever, and I see that one, I'm like, oh, I could just, because there are, you do see fatties go by, like the newer Eldrazi and stuff, and sneak attack also is, it's like seems almost oddly powerful in this queue. And then polymorph, which if you get it with those other cards, I think it's okay, but to go all in on just polymorph is pretty tough, even though there are, you know, like creature lands and ways to do it. I think you want to have it as part of like a sneak attack amulet regime of power, and not just go. But so there are a lot of changes. So I mean, the mass polymorph in the cube, I don't know either.
I like polymorph. I think this sounds like a pipe dream cube to me. I don't know. I don't sound excited about this cube.
I think the thing is, like, I like magic, and so any magic you show me, it's like one of those things like sex and pizza, whatever. It's like, yeah, I like that. And it you know, I don't even know, with like Frontier, it's like
you could like that
Frontier magic. It's like everyone just likes magic, so if you have like a magic event and everyone's like, yeah, I like sex.
It's a carnal enjoyment out of just playing a cube, regardless of however powerful it is and whatever it may offer. You still got the opportunity to brew decks, find interactions, and cool cards that you can play with. That's why we play this game.
Yeah, I like Frontier, though.
I like the idea. I bought Collected Companies just because of that. So I can hedge my bets if I ever want to get into it. But other than that...
But I think it'll be rotating. I think it'll be basically more like extended. But I think that's what the community wants. I think it's coming out where they don't like standard, and they're going to have to find a way to maybe move away from standard, even though, like, in their minds, that's like how you sell cards. Like you just, but you know, maybe there's a way to do it more efficiently. But I don't envy that task. Like it's just, you're just solving for different things that are hard to solve at the same time.
I hear you. I don't mean to be rude, but I gotta leave in 5 minutes. I gotta go buy a Christmas tree. I'm already past due.
I don't mean to be rude, but this was fucking boring for like the last 20 minutes.
I know, you haven't said shit, so that's taking that hint that Jason wants.
My name is Furrow, I'm the owner of the building. I'm a stoner and I'm chilling with two bitches like Jack. I pimps and I mag, drive a Benz on a lack. Man, I've been in the back with the groupies in the stores. I've been out front with the thugs and the guards. I've been on the yard with the Mexican mafia. And I only run with niggas that are killing Dafia. I'm popular, I'm a rap star. But I live like a rock star running from the cop car. I drop bars from slaps that knock hard. And I charge for this dick extra large. I'm sicker than SARS, high to Mars. And I treat my bitch like a ATM card. I'm in the building and I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm in the building and I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm in the building and I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. I'm in the building and I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling myself. She's in the building and she's feeling herself. She's looking bad, but I'm willing to help. Stop it, baby, you're killing yourself. Come on, I got your back, we can chill in my Dell. I'm feeling myself too. Man, just imagine some of the things we can do. You under me under you. Then we can catch the liquor store before two. We can hit my nigga, go get some shrooms. And if you still wanna kick it, we can go get a room. It won't cost you much, I'm a goodbye. Dick on discount, bitch, goodbye. I look like Mr. Frank, fuck for free. No dough ho, you can't fuck with me. Get the fuck out, bitch, you still in my depth. You're full of shit, and I'm feeling myself. I'm in a building and I'm feeling myself.
I don't. It was only like 10 minutes, right?
It was excruciating.
No, we had a point.
Every podcast has excruciating content.
Yeah, but when you got into the combos, when you got to the second combo, I was like, we should stop this right now. I realized that it was a bad decision to ask you about the combos.
Money draft.
Tighten up. What are you talking about?
Just telling you to tighten up. You're talking shit about corking fees.
Can't have that. Gotta make sure that doesn't make the episode.
Sorry, I got real aggressive there. I just had a
tighten up, motherfucker. Can't give me a money draft complaining about corking fees.
Money draft.
So I got a dirty diaper. I'll be right back.
All good.
I got dirty diapers a lot, but I got that other thing. What's that called for diapers?
Wife.
A wife. Yeah.
Wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it right.
My joke is that I also shit my pants and just put them in the hamper.
There you go.
And then wash them like once a month because I have 30.
I feel like you would underwear. Just hang up your shitty underwear and let the moths eat it.